Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily, the new improved version, of course, because we are now a nice, succinct 25-minute show, and that's what me and Steph will try and do today through our joy and praise of a great AEW show. You know what? I got to see this lovely human being in the flesh on Monday, didn't we, Steph?
We did. I'm still on a high from that, Alex. It was very, very awesome to see you in person for the first time in a long time. And not only that, but get to like properly hang out, have a drink together, all of it. Be really, really good. And I hope that we will be seeing each other more in the near future.
We shall, Steph. We shall. And drinks, plural. By the way, dangerous it was. But nonetheless, man, I had such a great time. And looking forward to getting into it with Steph Chase tonight. Without further ado, let's start talking AEW. Just a reminder, guys, like, subscribe, all that good stuff for Wrestling Daily. But let's kick things off with the way Grand Slam kicked off. Brian yes. Danielson, Kenny Omega, the match we all wanted to see. Steph, for me, that absolutely lived up to the billing. And I think there's more to come.
Yeah, one of the best TV matches I've seen in a really long time. It was an absolute dream match. They give it to us on television in a wonderful venue, wonderful setting that we've never seen wrestling in before. And I think you are right. There is more to come. It reminded me of Omega Okada, their first match. Like, there is obviously a long form story that's going to be told between Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson, oh my God, that is going to build through their matches. And this one, it was perfect. I don't think I can give a criticism. I think it was kind of obvious they were going to go for the 30-minute time limit draw. But I think that's something we all accepted that had to happen because it's Omega versus Danielson. And it was a good way to set up future matches. Danielson looked different than he has in so, so long. I mean, his performances in WWE were always really good. He always, always brought it. But he felt like American Dragon as he was introduced. You know, he felt like he was giving it his all, and it felt like he knew how much this match meant and how like glad he was to be able to have it.
I loved it. I said this this morning on Twitter. The draw to me made perfect sense. Like I know I heard the crowd, but whatever reaction were they going to do? Like, yeah, it's a draw. Like, that's by default. By default, they're going to go boo, just because, you know, that's what a draw is. But, and I think someone told me this earlier, there's only been 4 draws, time limit draws, I believe, in AEW history. So it's not overused by any stretch of the imagination. It fit for what was going on here. You could make the argument, this is the best TV match I've ever seen, legitimately. Yes. I could make that argument. I think Cena Michaels is in that discussion. Is it the Iron Man they had in the UK? Mm-hmm. That is up there. But off the top of my head, I'm hard-pressed to think of a better, good 30 minutes of incredible, incredible action. The Snapdragon on The ramp.
Scary. Left
everybody like,
Daniel. Scary.
Yeah, you know, scary. And the chops were being laid. Some of Daniel Bryan's kick were laid the fuck in. They were so hard. You could see the way that Omega was like reverberating against them. I thought both of them really brought it. I loved the Frankensteiner out of the One-Winged Angel. Thought that was immense. You know, the way that Omega as well countered the running knee. This is not criticism. It's just where I thought it was going. Because Bryan worked over the arm for the first part of the match. I was sure that we were going to get like an extended LaBelle lock at some point. Because the only one we ever really got was Kenny. And he kind of got his foot on the ropes fairly quickly. Bryan never really got it in until after the match. I thought, and this is probably my WWE conditioned brain, that Bryan would lock it in, the LaBelle lock, and the timer would expire with Kenny fighting to stay in it. Having said that, Steph, I actually really enjoyed the fact they were just beating the crap out of each other as the timer went. Like, as if it didn't matter, as if, like, I hate you now, like, and they were just going at it. I thought it was great.
I enjoyed Bryan as the face, getting on Kenny after the bell as well.
Yeah.
Just the anger in him, like how much he wanted it, how much he actually wanted to beat Kenny. And I do think this is Kenny's best AEW match we've seen so far, because I think Kenny's criticism has been that he hasn't been the best bump machine. And I think that's because he started off basically being a tag wrestler, like close to the beginning of AEW. And then he hasn't had the best title challengers because he's been telling a good title story. But this is Kenny Omega that all us that watched Kenny Omega in New Japan were telling people Kenny Omega was. I think he brought that last night.
I just want to say here, Bubba, in a conversation with Lizzie Stallion, says, got myself an interview on Monday for a job that's related to my course, so nervous. Congratulations, Bubba. Good luck to you, brother. Good luck. I'm sure you'll bring it home, brother, brother. On that note, guys, if you have any thoughts you want to share with us, as John Arias says here, please do get your Ultra Chats in, hot takes, thoughts on Grand Slam, whatever you like. Make sure you get them into us and we will get to it in this show. So keeping things moving. I thought, Steph, honestly, not doing hyperbole or anything like that, I could not take my eyes off it for the 30 minutes that I watched it. There's a gap between when I take my kids to school and when I start work. There's almost exactly 30 minutes. And I was like, I'm putting it on. I was desperate to see it. And honestly, I thought it was perfect. I can't think of a better way that it could go. I want to see more. I want to see him do an hour. I want to see it all.
I was proper nervous when it started because the expectations are so high. And the last thing you would want is for this match to suck after everyone's saying it's a dream match and Bryan moving over. But it was perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
You know, the only thing I would like in that too is when... and again, they'd already done this before with Shinsuke and AJ in New Japan. And then when we got it at WrestleMania 34, everyone was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing on a WrestleMania stage for the WWE title. This is going to be the best. I was there in the crowd. Yes, Lizzie Stallion, I was there. And everyone was like, is that it? Like Charlotte and Asuka was, even though the finish is debatable still, but even that was like much better than AJ and Shinsuke. So on this one, I had all the faith in AJ and Shinsuke then. I had all the faith that Bryan and Kenny would bring it just because Kenny is so like meticulous with how he puts stuff together. And I know Bryan has got like a million ideas too. Mm-hmm. I thought that they couldn't not deliver, but the physicality, the story within that, a way to introduce Bryan Danielson, keeping Kenny still strong as the champion, the elite shenanigans after, and the sixth man that we're heading to probably. I can't find a fault with it. And again, I'm a positive guy with my wrestling, but I will call it as I see it. I can't honestly find anything wrong with it.
No, neither can I. Neither can I. It was fantastic. And what a show they presented, you know, for a TV show. Amazing. And just having that match and just knowing like we're going to have it again. And I think they're going to top each other each time. They're going to top that match.
I cannot wait. I just can't wait to see more chapters of that match. I really can't. So in case you guys were wondering, yes, we loved it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before moving forward here, I do want to touch on a couple of bits of news, Steph. So, Dynamite and Rampage, it was announced we're going to be moving from TNT to TBS in early 2002. But apparently now, the flagship shows, a Variety are reporting that Dynamite will begin airing on TBS from January 5th, and it will continue in that 8 p.m. time slot. But Rampage will be remaining on TNT. What do you think about that, Steph?
I don't really know. You know, I don't think I know enough about what the channels mean, like what's a better channel. I think it sounds like a good thing to have one show on each channel, does it not?
Yes.
So I think that's a positive as well. I think Rampage has done really good so far, given the time slot. It really has. And, you know, this week's Rampage rating is going to be, I think, even more interesting than the Punk rating. But it shows they have a good relationship with TNT. And it's nice to have them one on each channel.
I don't want to give too much away because I know spoilers and things of that nature for Rampage. But I saw Chris Jericho and what he gets up to, and I recommend you all do.
No, I found that one out. I know that's a spoiler, and I'm not going to talk about it, but all I can say is that is exactly what I predicted. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Benno. That is exactly what I predicted would happen. When I read that spoiler, I just thought, like, I'm a booking genius. Tony Khan's a booking genius. Chris Jericho's a booking genius. And it's nice that we're all on the same page.
That's it, Steph and Tony Khan. There you go. I will be watching Rampage because I think it looks sick. But that's an interesting thing. It's a two-hour special this week. Yeah. How long before it is just 2 hours, Steph? Because this hour is like a blast at the moment.
That scares me because the last thing I want is AEW to go the way of WWE, where it's just too much content and it dilutes the product and it becomes not good. But their roster is so great, they can fill 2 hours. I give it, like, let's go back to this in 6 months. Keep it an hour for another 6 months because it's still a new show. Like, let's not make a rash decision so early on and say we need to be 2 hours. I definitely check the rating this week, but it is 2 hours because it's on so late is the other thing. Then you're asking those US fans to stay up to what, midnight to watch this show, you know? So no rash decisions. We'll talk about it again in 6 months. When I say I mean me, Tony Khan, and TNT.
Well, as Joey Yao says, Steph's on the payroll. Listen, this is the same woman who told me, she predicted Eddie Kingston would come out and save John Moxley after the exploding death fire. And I was watching going like, she said it.
And then I also told you the next day after the pay-per-view how Eddie Kingston would explain
it.
Not working, yeah. And I was right.
God, I think Joey knows. Yeah, I think the hour of Rampage is wildly fun right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they couldn't make 2 hours fun, but
no.
I just love the hour right now. The other bit of news that I did want to get into is that Marty Scurll, and I mentioned him, of course, because being a former Elite member, is making his return to professional wrestling. He's going to appear for CWA in San Juan, Puerto Rico on Saturday, October 23rd at Halloween Fan Fest. Of course, we know that in last year's Speak It Out movement, Skrull had a lot of accusations against him. He had re-signed with Ring of Honor at the time to be like a talent and head booker. Yeah, okay, I believe. And then he went on hiatus following that. And Ring of Honor officially announced that they parted ways with him in January. So this seems to be his return. Not sure how it's going to be received. What do you think about this, Steph? Are you all for second chances? You think it's been long enough? Any thoughts?
Well, you know, he's returning in Puerto Rico. So it's, you know, he's not returning to like Ring of Honor or even...
That says
you know,
something.
He did try to return to New Japan Strong, if you remember. And when that leaked, he was immediately had to be removed. I don't think people want to see him back. And I think that it's going to be very hard for a mainstream company, even Ring of Honor, to take a chance on bringing him back because of the negativity. It's hard to say when it comes to second chances, apologies, all this stuff. It's really hard to say because I think it's up to people that are, you know, very directly affected by Marty's actions and other people that have been very directly affected to similar things that, you know, will relate him to that. So I do not think, though, that Marty Scurll is going to come back to wrestling as he was before. I don't think so. And I think it's still too soon to say. Speaking Out was only a year ago. We saw the reaction online when who was booked in Mexico by Bandido? Was it Travis Banks?
Was it Travis Banks? Okay, yeah.
I think it was Travis Banks. Yeah, like that reaction as well. So getting anyone to take a chance on it is probably not going to happen.
I think it's difficult, right? It's a long road for anyone. And I don't think it helps. So like, for instance, Velveteen Dream, different situation, of course, case by case basis. But again, he didn't get the chance originally, or he just didn't kind of own up and face up and, you know, give his side of the story. Or if you have been wrong, you need to kind of own it and want to grow and, you know, take steps to prove such a thing. This whole, in a lot of cases, it's kind of like people have wanted to just, I don't know, sweep it under the rug. I'm not speaking about Skrull, but I'm just saying generally, this is a generalization thing here. I guess you have to try and make amends because you can't just expect to come back to wrestling because people are still like, but we know, you know, we remember that news thing and they won't forget it until it's really addressed, I guess. Yeah. So there you go. That's the Marty Skrull news. Let's carry on with the AEW card. And for those of you, there is still time to get your thoughts in. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe for this channel, but also get your Ultra Chats, WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily, and you can have your say on proceedings too. Steph, next out was CM Punk to cut a promo. You know what? When I watched this, I felt like, again, he had maybe bullet points and he didn't really know where he was going at points. It was like, you know, I was pissed off, but then I smiled, but then I was pissed off again, but then I can't stop smiling. And he kind of went around in circles till he arrived at his point. And he was like, but you know, I'm not going to forget it. Where are you going to get it? I felt like he closed it really well, but the middle part, I was like, where's he going? What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I liked him addressing the whole Happy Punk thing that, you know, he's such a happy guy now. And why like in character though, he would be happy. I liked that. Thought it was good to have him out there after that match. I'll say like the structure of this show, very, very good to just, you know, we've had the dream match. Okay, next you're getting CM Punk. I thought that was great rather than put a match like if you put MJF and Pillman in that, I think the crowd would have been going to the concessions or something, you know, to go down from the high. But he I really like his promos. He's known so much for his promos. He is out of practice in promos, and that's maybe why he gets a little, like you said, sometimes like lost in the bullet points. So I think he's going to get better like as the weeks go on, because this guy, like, not only has he hasn't wrestled in 7 years, he hasn't promoed in 7 years either, and that's you know, like, it's not an easy thing to do. But I thought it was good. I like him being happy. He does at some point need to get like proper angry, but I like him being happy. The other Rampage spoiler I saw was to do with CM Punk, but not to do with anything with his match. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. What do you think of that decision? The fashion decision?
I was about to say, I don't know how I can comment and dance around it without giving away.
but just say, did you enjoy the decision he made at All Out? Or are you happy with what he did in Rampage?
I like CM Trunk. Can I say that? Is that?
Yeah, you can say that.
I can say that. Okay, I like CM Trunks. Let's go.
I liked the long gear. I really did. I really prefer. I really prefer a man in long tights. I'm sad that he gave in to peer pressure. I mean, come on, Punk. Don't give in to peer pressure. He's straight edge. He should be used to not giving in to peer pressure. Mm. But the fans made him put the trunks back on, and there we go. CM Trunks is back.
I mean, I liked him the way he was at All Out. Put the pins away, CM Punk. Go on, do what you got to do. God, we've only got like 5 or so minutes left of this show. Christ. Listen, let's keep going through the card, because MJF and Brian Pillman Jr. was up next. And we would know that MJF would get the win here, Steph. You know, he counted the springboard clothesline into Salt of the Earth, tapped out Brian Pillman Jr. But I will say this. I thought it was a really good showing for Brian Pillman. His first really spotlighted singles match. And I felt like he brought his half to the table.
I thought Pillman was pretty good. He's not like up on the level of MJF yet, but that's fine. This has been a fine little like tight MJF over feud. The only thing I would say is Grand Slam in general didn't have any big angles or anything on it. And with such an audience, I think they maybe should have done something. So I was expecting a Wardlow turn here. That didn't happen.
Yeah, we're still a way off. I mean, but the friction between them has been evident. Right. Yeah. So I think we're on the road, but maybe they're saving it for a big, big stage. Moving along from that one, we had Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes. Now, the criticism here, Steph, of course, is, oh, Cody's going to come back and win. And, you know, and I still believe that Anthony Ogogo should have beat Cody Rhodes, but he didn't. Yeah. And that's kind of a criticism that's lingered around Cody ever since. Mm-hmm. He didn't win here, but he was protected along the way. What did you think about that?
Yes, I would have wanted Malakai Black to win clean. Cody, I don't know where he's going with this. He's definitely a heel. The crowd will react like he's a heel. Everything he does is like he's a heel. I know he's been adamant in the press that he won't turn heel. Mm-hmm. But this guy is a heel. This spot I liked the least was Brandy, you know, giving the fingers to Malakai Black. I thought that was really unnecessary. It was like, if this isn't built up for the Rhodes to be heels, then I don't know what they're thinking, because I find that like bizarre. Wait till he at least does something offensive before you do that, Brandy, you know? Mm. Aaron falling off the apron was unfortunate, and then very strange that it was also the spot he was meant to do, but still did the spot twice. Like, they really should have just got like, you know, gone to that as a spot. But yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this is like where Cody goes from here, like, really, because this is, it's so heelish, all of it.
Brandi Rhodes with that hey jefe chica energy, which she laid on Jade Cargill that time. I don't know. I think the Rhodes, I think they are going heel. I'm just not sure how they get there or what the idea is from there. But nevertheless, I'm interested to see it. I've seen some people say Cody has like go away heat. He doesn't with me. I still like watching him. I just feel like they've booked themselves into a strange position with him. And Who knows where they go from here. Next up was FTR versus Sting and Darby Allin. Steph, when are Sting and Darby Allin going to get a tag title shot? That's the question.
No, I love Sting so much, as you know. This
crossbody Sting.
I love him. I adore this man. I tweeted last night. I've been watching him for 25 years, and I'm still just in awe of him. He's the one of the few people, way more than the Undertaker, that's like kept his mystique with me. He was amazing in this match. FTR did play their part very well. Sting was amazing in this match. It was so much fun. It wasn't a 5-star classic, but it was fun, and he's great. I love him. He's the best dad. He's just so great. I would make them tag team champions. I would make Sting world champion. I'd hand everything over to Sting if he asked. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Hand it over to him. Yeah. Give it all. I love it. I mean, FTR are so great too. Like, if you actually watch them, I guess, pay attention to their matches, like, they're very meticulous with.
Yes.
You know, making it tag team by design, making all the spots matter, who's legal and who's not. And it is just a joy to watch if you love that stuff. And I thought they did a great job here as well. But the Scorpion Deathlock for the win, man. I mean, they're unbeaten as a team. They've got to be heading towards the titles, or at least a shot, which them and the Young Bucks would have been cool. But now, of course, it's the Lucha Bros.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, I don't know if I want to subject Sting to those maniacs. But nevertheless, that could be what we're doing. Moving on to the main event, Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. Soho obviously hasn't been in the company long, right?
Yeah.
And she won the Battle Royale, so she got the shot. She hit her finisher on Baker as if to say, oh, here we go. But then a distraction of Rebel and Jamie Hayter gave Britt Baker enough wiggle room to get the lockjaw and get the victory. Again, kind of protects Ruby and keeps it moving with, you know, again, with Baker having this team around her. She should be really difficult to beat. What did you make of the overall action? What it means for Ruby? What do you think?
I thought it was a fine match. I thought Ruby was protected, which I enjoyed. I thought she may have won just because if you're going to put the belt on anyone, it would be her off Baker. Only thing I'd say with the finish, it was a disappointing finish. And if you were there live, you'd be like, that's fine because Chris Jericho is coming up and CM Punk's coming up and stuff. But watching at home, I was kind of like, oh, this is such an incredible show. And, you know, we didn't get a send us home happy finish. It was, you know, but I think she's come in, like, I'm really strong. And as much as I like her, I'm even surprised, like, at how big reactions are to her and how much she's got over. So interested to see where she goes next. She definitely deserves a rematch, but I don't know where you can put her until that rematch happens, because I would think that would be saved for a pay-per-view.
I mean, Baker's just blown past Statlander and Ruby Soho,
yeah,
presumably the Thunder Roses of the world, and people like that are in her immediate future at a big pay-per-view. That's what I would presume. Let's look at the Ultra Chats before we close things off here. We have one from Stu who says, why is Apollo the only wrestler Wrestling Daily Twitter account follows? Nothing wrong with him. Just a bit random. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to get it up right. I know they only follow something random, like 7 accounts. It's weird. But I don't know who needs to hear this. I don't control the Wrestling Daily Twitter account. We follow 15. Okay. We are following Luke Owens, Sat, Apollo. There you go. Pete Quinnell, WrestleTalk, myself, Louis Dangor. I should unfollow that boy. Tempest, Steph, SB3, Mod Mother Jenna, Kevin Patrick Egan. That's good. Riccuccino, very random again, but I like him. Gary Cassidy and CU Communications. Wow. That's a very strange bunch. But yep. Nonetheless, there you go. I have no idea. I will ask for you. I think Abby Payne maybe does the Twitter account. I'll let you know. And we have another one from Stu, where he says, what do you think the viewership will be? This is about AEW Dynamite he's talking. And do you think viewers would have dropped off after the first match or stuck around? I mean, if I was a first-time viewer, I would have stuck around. I could tell you that.
Yeah. I think they will have stuck around. I think that the viewership numbers have been so good recently that I can only predict an increase in viewership. And if you think of that amount of people viewing Dynamites that haven't had Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson on them, I think it's highly likely that people would stick around, especially as we knew that the main event was a women's title match as well. You also had a Sting match in there. Yeah, they presented a solid card built around a dream match that they, you know, give away at the beginning of the show. But I think that they can afford to do that.
Yeah, I think maybe 1.2, 1.3 million I would expect at least. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I was blown away and it was, 1.5. But, like, yeah. I think for Bryan Danielson and Omega, yeah, I think it's going to be a decent one. And I also think that will be the high point because it went half an hour. You know, yeah. I don't know. I think people are going to be like, oh, and they tuned in. And, yeah, I see it being big. Josh Bowen says, Ruby wasn't protected at all. She tapped out in her first match in AEW. Not cool. Well, I mean, it wasn't her first match, for one. First title match, sure. Also, one, the lockjaw, nobody gets out of, we've learned. So I'm okay with that.
And that move is one move I would definitely tap out of in a second. I would never want someone's hand in my mouth. Like, I could absolutely stay in the salt of the earth, I think, for a very long time. Or the scorpion deathlock.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, but the lockjaw... No, I tap immediately. Tap before she puts the hand in. Gross.
I think she... yeah. yeah, I think the hater involvement and Rebel makes it slightly protected. I interpret it that way anyway.
Yes.
But there you go, Josh. Entitled to your opinion, brother, brother. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. That is all the time we have here on Wrestling Daily this week. You know, Steph and I could have waxed lyrical a lot longer, but we got you your news. We talked to you about the great show that was AEW Dynamite Grand Slam Rampage coming this Friday as well. Before I sign off here, once again, thanks to Steph Chase for joining me. Steph, tell the fine people of Wrestling Daily where they can find you this week.
Hey, in 2 hours, I'll be doing a full review of AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. So if you want to talk even more about it, match by match, join me live on my channel, Stephanie Chase Wrestling. Tide yourself over by watching my new interview with Chris Jericho, which is up there. There's lots of really fun stuff in there. Find out the thing that he did that made TNT really, really mad at him. It's a surprising answer to that. Yeah. So yeah, go watch that. Subscribe and enjoy.
Make sure you do, guys. Remember the extended family here at Wrestling Daily. Please support Steph Chase and her YouTube channel and, of course, her podcast, SB3, the True Heel Heat Gang. Make sure you're all a part of the family, like the good eggs that you are. I will be back tomorrow. I believe I know who the special guest is, but I'm not sure. So I'll let you know later. I don't know if they've confirmed. I will let you know. But until then, thank you so much, guys, for joining us here on Wrestling Daily. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.